Good morning. It's Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. With the costs of groceries rising and food assistance falling, community gardens can help keep healthy food on a family's table.
I'm hoping that this community garden can be a place where we can help fill those needs that those people might have now that some of those programs that they've depended on might be being cut.
We'll hear how food banks and other groups are helping provide fresh produce to people. That's after the news. A recent report from the Kansas Board of Regents indicates fewer high school students in the state are ready for college than a decade ago, KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
The report analyzed Kansas scores on the ACT exam, which aims to measure college preparedness in English, reading, math, and science. In the past 10 years, the percentage of students reaching benchmarks in all four of those subjects has dropped by nearly half. Proficiency in each individual subject also dropped between 15 and 22 percentage points. Since 2019, the state has paid for all high schoolers to take the ACT once. That means more students are now taking the exam, but that could also contribute to the apparent decline in proficiency. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
A downtown Wichita building that has had stints as a theater and church ministry space is the site of a new wellness center for first responders, KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
In 2021, Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter created a wellness unit focused on the mental and physical health of his staff. He says the results were swift.
During COVID, we transported 8 deputies that were working in the facility 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, that went into crisis, and we transported them to St. Joe for assistance. We haven't had one since we started this unit, and so that tells me where we're at.
Now Easter's push is taking a big next step. The Wichita Metro Crime Commission has purchased a building at 3rd and Broadway to create a health and wellness center specifically for first responders. Plans call for a 24-hour gym, physical therapy center, and mental health clinic. It's slated to open early next year. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Wichita's Mid-America All-Indian Museum is celebrating 50 years of telling Native American stories. It started as a cultural and social services center, often serving Native Americans working in the aviation industry. Now the museum educates people about the culture, tradition, and fine art of indigenous people. Executive Director Candy Taylor says there are 575 federally recognized tribes in the U.S. to draw stories from.
That's what we're here to do, is to educate people, to let them know about, you know, the Native tribes are still here. They didn't die with the Wild West. We are still here, and so it's important for us to continue to tell those stories.
Later this year, the museum will open a hall honoring noted Native Americans and hold a celebration powwow. The latest census data for Kansas reveal urban and suburban areas of Kansas mostly continue to grow. Rachel Schnelly of the Kansas News Service reports.
U.S. Census data from the last 3 years reveals smaller cities like DeSoto and Goddard grew by more than 500 people. Johnson County cities like Lenexa, Overland Park, and Gardner showed steady growth over the last year. Other cities like Wichita and Topeka had growth of less than 200. Data says the majority of rural counties shrunk in populations in the last 5 years. Lawrence was one of the only larger cities in the state to experience a slight drop in population. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelly.
Wichita State University has chosen a new name for the former Cessna Stadium. It was temporarily named University Stadium as part of a multi-phase renovation. Moving forward, it will be known as Crossland Stadium. The name comes from Crossland Construction Company, which has worked on a number of construction projects on campus. The stadium was once home to WSU's football team. The multi-million dollar renovations aim to make it a state-of-the-art facility for the university's track and field program. The university expects construction will wrap up by the spring of 2028. A nominating commission has selected 3 nominees to fill a vacancy on the Kansas Supreme Court. Governor Laura Kelly will have 60 days to decide which of the nominees she will appoint to fill the vacancy created when Justice Marla Lukert retired in March. The nominees are Carl Folsom, who's a district judge in Douglas County, and K. Christopher Jayaram and Robert Wannell, who are both judges in Johnson County. The nominating commission interviewed 7 applicants. The commission is an independent body made up of lawyers and laypeople. Wichita Transit is offering free bus rides to kids this summer. Kids 17 years old and younger are eligible. They can ride any route for free during operating hours. The routes connect with places including public libraries, movie theaters, and city pools. A single ride pass for kids is normally $1.50. Children 5 and under always ride free. Officials say they provide several thousand free rides each summer. The program runs through mid-August. Routes and scheduling information are at wichitatransit.org. The Tallgrass Film Association is looking for local students to be part of its Emerging Filmmaker Program. The program is open to students in 8th through 12th grades, or ages 13 to 18. Applications are open and due May 29th. Students in the program will go through film submissions from around the world and will help decide what makes it into the festival. Participants get an all-access Tall Pass for the Tallgrass Film Festival for themselves and one for a parent or guardian. More information is at tallgrassfilm.org. We'll be back after this.
Support the public radio you rely on today and tomorrow. Consider making an IRA charitable contribution to KMUW. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give, and it helps keep trusted local journalism strong. Learn more at kmuw.org under the Donate tab and Ways to Give, or call John Patton here at the station.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. As grocery prices rise, some community organizations are growing their own produce and creating community gardens to help fight food insecurity. Organizers say fresh vegetables are only some of the benefits. KMUW's Roger Nomer reports.
Yeah, this is our other community plot where we're growing our three sisters.
So Donovan Lawrence explains the raised mounds in the St. Andrews Community Garden in Derby. The three sisters growing method is an indigenous technique. Corn, beans, and squash sustain themselves on one plot.
And when you set things up correctly, they can all benefit from each other and help supporting each other.
Plots are open to the public at the church's community garden. There are raised beds for people with mobility issues. There's even space to grow food for a local mental health organization. Funding for food insecurity relief is decreasing. Last year, the United States Department of Agriculture canceled programs helping food banks and schools buy local produce. Lawrence says organizations like this are using community gardens to help.
I'm hoping that this community garden can be a place where we can help fill those needs that those people might have now that some of those programs that they've depended on might be being cut.
Persistent inflation also contributes to the problem. It limits the amount of healthy food people can buy on a budget. Karen Couch runs a community garden at the Salina Food Bank.
Rising grocery prices are causing a lot of folks to have to cut back to look towards the more processed or packaged products.
Community gardens can be a flexible support system as well, because you can put them almost anywhere. They're grown at schools, on rooftops, even inside correctional facilities. But there are limitations. These outdoor gardens can't really provide food in the winter, so organizations are also using other methods to expand the traditional growing season. Couch says they've started using indoor growing to provide food in winter months.
Because we do have a seasonal garden, we do have a hydroponic grow tower in our lobby. We're experimenting with what we can grow in it through just light, water, and nutrients.
Hunger Free Kansas is a Wichita-based organization that works with a wide variety of public agencies to end hunger. It says 1 in 7 Kansans are struggling with food insecurity. That number is only expected to rise. Executive Director Erica Debrick Kelly says community gardens are just part of the solution.
A community garden in itself is unlikely to provide all of the nutrition that a family or an individual needs to maintain their overall health.
They are most effective when paired with programs like government food assistance or Meals on Wheels. That creates a web of support to address hunger in Kansas. She says the gardens can also offer health benefits beyond the simple exercise of digging and the nutrients in fresh produce.
That element of service and giving back, as well as social connection and reducing feelings of isolation and loneliness, stress management, all are contributing factors to improving overall health.
They can also become places of education. Raising plants can hopefully help people make informed decisions about their diet. Many of these advocates see community gardens as a return to Kansas's roots in agriculture. It's a way to use that tradition to fight modern problems like food insecurity and lack of fresh food. Back at the Salina Food Bank, Karen Couch says it's an opportunity to learn from the pioneers.
We could take a sense of pride in the fact that this is local, it's grown here, we're taking good care of our environment. Then I think it's a win-win for our whole entire state.
For the Kansas News Service, I'm Roger Nomer in Wichita.
You can read more about Kansas Community Gardens at KMUW.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.